This episode of the Haunted Road Trip Show is brought to you by Studio One, Vazi Pilates. To claim your free gift now, check the show notes.
Welcome to the Haunted Road Trip Show, where we bring you powerful conversations, insights, and exciting site investigations that reveal the paranormal world in a way you've never seen before. Prepare to have your thirst for curiosity satisfied.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Haunted Road Trip Show. Yes, you know I'm terrible about keeping track of which number it is, but I mean, do we really care? So, I'm back, and I have a fabulous guest that I was over the moon when she said she would join us for an episode. So, if you are on TikTok or Instagram, I know you are going to know this fabulous woman. She goes by the name of the Huggable Healer, and she indeed is huggable. I have Miss Hannah Ball here. Hi, Hannah.
Hey, Tracy. Hi, everyone. Good to see you. I'm so excited to come on. When you're like inviting me on, I'm like, talk with Tracy, hang out, talk about cool, spooky stuff and more. Let me think about this. Hard yes.
Exactly. Well, you got quite the background going on there.
We're in the art room. So if you see the art room's display going on, this is my playground for the spirit world. They're allowed playing here. This is our agreement in our family. So when I'm in here playing, doing my artwork, they're also allowed to come in here and hang out with me. So they're kind of some of the inspiration to this is them and interacting with them. And other of it is just beautiful art that inspires me and helps me connect with spirit.
There you go. And plus, if you watch her on TikTok, you will oftentimes see her in this room in different little parts of it.
And on YouTube. Yeah, this is usually we're kind of hiding in here. This is the wing that we hang out.
So that's the ghost wing of your house.
Especially with the lights and especially the electronics. We're trying to not let them mess with the other parts of the house. We're like, if you want to play, come play in here. The rest of the house, we try to keep them off limits.
Yes, I've seen those lights go on and off on your TikTok lives and other videos and things like that. And I just absolutely love it. So tell the audience what is your specialty? What do you just jam out on in the spirit world?
The biggest thing I love doing is giving people hugs from their loved ones in spirit. That's literally why I call myself the Huggable Healer, because it needs to feel like a huggy, squishy, magushy from your loved ones. So providing readings for them as a medium, I like to bring through clear evidence that there's no way I could know, want to know, and ask to not be told anything about your loved ones. Let them in the spirit world, I always say, let them do all the heavy lifting. But I love to like bring them forward and connect them with their loved ones here on the earth plane. And, you know, let them know that they're still around, even if they don't get to feel them in the physical. It's almost like they do feel them by the time the readings ended. It's usually my intention behind every reading.
Yes, that's it. Every good medium's intention. And I would hit the rewind button. If you guys aren't new to this industry, listen to what she just said again, because she talks a lot about bringing through validation and evidence, which is really key to any type of mediumship reading that you're going to do, or a lot of other types of readings as well. So I was reading over your illustrious background bio that you sent me, and Miss Hannah, you lived in a haunted Victorian house.
I lived and grew up in an old haunted Victorian house near the ocean side. It was a Queen Anne.
Okay, well, I mean, the floor is yours. Tell.
It was a Queen Anne that we lived in. So it was, you know, if you know anything about the old Victorian houses, it was a painted lady. Well, it needed to be painted. It was a need to be painted lady. It was definitely one of those houses where it was on that line of, do we tear it down or do we fix it up, you know, kind of thing. So I grew up there. Most of my younger childhood, we were there. My parents had been in the military, and they finally decided to plant roots over in the town that we were living in. And my mom was just super attracted to this old, creepy, ghostly looking house, right? I mean, it actually ended up, and you don't know this, but it ended up being on the Joan Rivers show. So if you remember Joan Rivers back in the day.
Love Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers, love her. So she, my mom was on because of our creepy haunted house. And when they would take the pictures, yeah, so you have to go back and do a little deep dive in, go deep dig a little bit. I can show it to you. But I wonder if we can find the episode there or not. This was politely, I'm a little bit older. So this was before the whole internet thing had taken off. And but
if you can do that,
I'm definitely a lot older than that. But my mom actually went on Joan Rivers' show and was talking about all the activity in the house. And especially when we started doing construction, that's when we had the most activity when I was younger. Like we started tearing down walls, and I'll give you the best story ever.
Yes, yes, yes.
Joan got to hear it. I'll share it with Tracy in case anybody doesn't catch this episode. Can't go back in the archives with Joan. I'll share this with you because this is one of those memories that you can't forget, that we were tearing open all the walls and the kitchen had, just everything was basically falling down in that kitchen. So they had to take everything off and you were down to basically like the studs and the nails, right? There's nothing going on. My uncle was over helping my mom, and because, you know, family always makes good muscles. So
right,
we brought the uncle in. And he came over to help. And then I was a youngster. I had my brother as well and my dad. And they'd been working on it the whole time throughout the day. And then we would all sleep downstairs because it's upstairs where the kitchen was. Downstairs is where we all sleep. And as we're sleeping downstairs in the middle of the night, you hear pump, 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 slam, 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 pump, 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 pump. And then back and forth. And my uncle thought, well, maybe your parents are up there working late at night. Maybe they're having an argument. Pump, 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 slam, 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 slam. And so we all just tried to like roll over and go back to bed at that point. So the next morning we get up and my dad had a hot plate out and he was making something. I don't remember, it was like bacon and eggs or pancakes. And my mom was helping. And my uncle walked up the stairs first and I was right behind him. And he said to him, he's like, yeah, you guys, what were you like fighting over last night? Like, what was all that noise? You know, everybody was just trying to sleep. And I'll never forget the look on my mom's face because she just did this like head turn very slowly, kind of creepy doll like. Did it ever occur to anybody that there were no cabinet doors to be slamming?
Mom is right.
There was nothing to be slamming. Just like there was nobody walking around and there was nobody slamming anything because there wasn't anything to be slamming. And my uncle was just like, I'm out of here. That's it. He was not willing to stick around and continue the construction. He left the next day. Very much not okay with him. He's like, not doing it. Not doing it. I'm out.
And how old were you at this time? Like,
I think I was junior high aged when
like you're old enough to understand a few things. You're old enough to like be cognitively aware, like this is not normal for everybody.
No. And when the lights, there's definitely a lot of ghost stories from being in that house, but the lights, across the street from us as well as ours, there's a couple of Victorians because you're kind of in a row, right? But this ours was the tear downer of the group, but the lights in our house would kind of go off and interact on their own. And we'd notice the neighbor's lights would do the same thing. So you get to the point where you're almost in a haunted neighborhood because you go and talk to people like, Do you have the same issue that we have? But you're not sure how much you can talk about it because you don't want to be the weirdos on the block. So I would say at least on that block, there was at least three houses that there was enough activity that you recognized what was going on in your home was happening in these other houses as well.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. It's like if there's ghosts in there and that house is the same age and been around, there's probably spirits in there too. You know, it's like a ghost neighborhood. And they probably go back and forth to each other's house. So, like, what I'm wondering is, like, I picture in my mind, like, what are teenage sleepovers like in a haunted house at Hannah's?
Okay. So, you want to hear about the boyfriend that didn't stay?
Of course. I want...
Okay, we're good.
A boyfriend, you said.
Okay. A boyfriend who didn't stay over. Hi, Lewis, if he happens to hear this or see this. There we go. We'll say his name, too. We won't even edit it because the likelihood he's going to see this is he's going to have this down. I think at that point, I never heard from him again. So I don't think he knows what I do. But
I don't know why you didn't call.
I've been waiting. It's only 20 years later. Where you at? But actually, so I wasn't allowed. My parents were conservative and we weren't allowed to have boys over, right? Especially not at night. So there was a evening that my parents were gone. And when the cat's away, you know, rawr, mouse will play. So I had invited my boyfriend over to come and just hang out. You know, I guess nowadays the term is Netflix and chill. Back in the day, it was just, we're just hanging out together.
Yeah.
And so we're kissing and we're making out together. Downstairs again, at this point, we're downstairs in the little couch area, and he starts hearing all this noise upstairs. And he's like, "Oh my God, your parents are home." I'm like, "No, they're not home. Like, dude, they're literally not home." He's like, "No," I'm like, "I'm hearing walking, like, and stuff upstairs." I'm like, "I promise you, there's nobody home, Lewis. Like, this is, it's just me. You know, it's an old house. It creaks. Cracks, crunk, crunk, crunk. But the noise got louder and louder, right? And so I basically had to tell him what was going on because he's panicked. He's like, "Your parents are going to find me. I'm going to get in so much trouble." I'm like, "Okay, dude, this is an old house. We have a lot of activity here. You know, lights go on. You know, things happen. There's no way you could know. It's just, it's pretty par for the course here." So he's like, "Yeah, right. Okay, sure, Hannah. Mm-hmm, that's it." And like, and I did have cats, right? So, but it was too loud for cat sounding. So then I'm Hannah. So I'm spicy Hannah pants. I decided to want to play a game. Yeah, even back in the day, like I was a want to play gamer. So I totally said to him, "Okay, if you want me to show you," I went to the bottom of the stairwell, and at the top of the stairwell was the bathroom that my parents had added on. At this point, the kitchen had been remodeled, right? We're fast forwarding. It's totally remodeled. There's a bathroom off the stairwell. And I said, "Hey, if there's a spirit here, will you turn on the bathroom lights?" Now, I know that Lewis knew that that light hadn't been on, that we'd gone downstairs, and that, you know, there was no way I could have that happen. And I was like, "Go look." He goes, and by the way, you guys, he's a basketball player. I just want to tell you, this guy's like 6'3", hunk of burning love, totally hot guy, right? Total masculine.
He ain't afraid of no ghost.
He ain't afraid of no ghost until he walks up those stairs and that light was on in the bathroom and he squealed like a little girl and he left. Like, he left. That makeout session was over. It was done. Yeah, right out the door. He just drove off. That was the end of that date. That was the end of Lewis as we know it.
Call me. Call me.
MySpace. It wasn't even internet.
I think the best part is that you are so like used to it and like you had become acclimated to the spirits that are around you, and you were even smart enough to learn how to communicate with them and try things out.
You know what? You're right. Now you say that, I'm like, that's true. I think it was that affinity to the spirit world as a little kid. I would feel spirits around. I would know they were around, you know, and even so when I lived in that house, they weren't uncomfortable for me. I know it was weird, but, and there was times they scared me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't walk around completely like, "Hey, high five to this ghost, that ghost." You know, there was times that it caught me off guard and I was uncomfortable, but you're right. More often than not, since I was a little kiddo and could feel spirit around, I didn't feel like a threatening energy or an angry energy for the most part. There were times that I definitely think there was maybe different energy that had shifted in, and or was energy that maybe some stress in my family was creating. So it had its own vibe that was uncomfortable. But yeah, I actually had one find a necklace for me once. So I wanted to try something. I had lost the necklace and I thought, you know what? If these spirits are so dang smart, can they help me relocate this? And I asked him, I'm like, "Put that necklace back on the counter," because I wasn't sure, did they take it or had I just lost it? So I was like, and I went to bed one night and I just had asked him. I think I was only like 15, 16 years old. And my boyfriend, who's now Mr. Hannah, at the time we started dating really young. We had lost his necklace he'd given me. And I thought, I'm going to ask him because I think they have it. They moved it or they'll know where it is. Tracy, right? The next morning, it was on the butcher block on the counter. I was like, yes, you know. Go, spirit. Go. I tried other times. Didn't work. But that's the one I never forget, that I actually got my necklace back. Thanks to spirit wall, you know?
Wow.
So
I grew up in haunted houses. I know. Like, people don't understand the plight that we went through growing up in all these haunted houses. Only I was the only one in my house that believed in it. Everybody else thought I was cuckoo bananas.
What was that like for you then? Like,
it was very confusing.
Play with the spirits?
I would. The first house that I grew up in, like literally the backyard was a cemetery. Massive cemetery. And across the street was another massive cemetery. And then diagonal from us was a funeral home. Yes.
Just a little bit of activity around you.
There's no dead people here. You know? I did ask my dad one time, I was like, why did you buy that house, Dad? You know? And he's like, because I knew the neighbors would be quiet. Yeah.
Go, Dad.
Exactly. And he said, too, as he was in law enforcement, and he was like, and very rarely does anybody rob a house that's next to a graveyard or try to do anything to a house next to a graveyard.
I never knew that. That's actually a good little like mental, because I find graveyards actually, for me, they're very peaceful. It's very calm. Very relaxing.
Yeah, I was just, not 2 weekends in a row, but multiple weekends this month, I've been in graveyards because, they're peaceful and they're fun. But, you know, it was interesting growing up. And even to this day, there was this one house that we lived in. And to this day, I cannot logically figure out what the noises were that I was hearing. And it would happen in the middle of the night. And it would happen during thunderstorms, and it would sound, it was a true story. So I was up top, and it would sound as if somebody had a tree branch and was scraping it against a kitchen window. And then as if somebody was like taking a chair and going on a linoleum floor. And I wasn't the only one who heard this. An older sibling of mine did too. And there was no trees anywhere near that window at all. Wow. And still cannot figure out what those, and they would only happen dead middle of the night or with thunderstorms. And that was just,
how did they respond to it? How did your sibling feel about that? Like, did that freak them out? Or were you guys freaked out about it?
We were like 8, 9, you know, we were super little. Like, you know, our response was go and run into each other's bed and, you know, like you heard that. Yeah. Like blankets over the head, right?
Cuddle time, right?
Yeah. Like cuddle time and, you know, other things. I really just got to the point where I just stopped talking about stuff. So. Mm-hmm.
And there was so much activity in our house that it was like, I don't know. Did your parents, that they could just dismiss it as other things? Because mine, it was just so clearly evident that this was not something being done that you could replicate in any way, shape, or form. Like, you know what I mean? Missing cabinets and lights going on. And there was actually one time where, and I think to the testament to my mom, where she actually had a rapport with whomever was in her house. And it was actually helpful to us. She tells the story of it. And I remember hearing the bells, but I don't remember the story. So this would just be me relaying it through my mom's storytelling. But I do remember actually hearing the jingle bells. But we used to have like reindeer jingle bells on our front door. And I never understood why, right? So like, you know, the Christmas bells you put on for, you know, Christmas time, opening the door. Well, my mom left them on all year round and I didn't understand why. And she's like, well, because they would open the door. And, you know, in the middle of the night, I wanted to hear, but the door was open. We needed to go and close it. Well, there was one night when I was in bed and I remember hearing jingle, 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 jingle. And then it took a break. Jingle, 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 jingle. And it took a break. And then jingle, 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 jingle again. And I thought, what is going on? Who is jingling that door? Well, I found out the next day and through talking with my parents about it, somebody had been trying to break into our house. We had a carriage house down below the house, right? Because we're talking old house. And they were trying to get in through the carriage doors that were along an alleyway. And whoever was staying with us, whoever was living with us and helping us was trying to alert us that this person was trying to break in. So they went to the front door and thrashed it until my parents got on up, turned on the lights, and they saw somebody taking off. And my dad could see where someone was using a screwdriver to try to break into the carriage doors to get into his tools.
Spirit will, you know, I've told people that before. And for everybody who's listening, like I have specifically told Spirit, like, if there's something going on around my house, I am in danger. There is, my pets are in danger. Something, I don't care what you have to do to get my attention. Go ahead and do it. If my house is something with the house, I'm a, you know, whatever it is, like, yeah. I don't, you know, and they will. The spirit, your loved ones and friends and family, you know, want to help you out. And they will.
Do.
And they, you know, and they definitely will. But it is.
You ever had it happen that you knew that spirit was protecting you in your home? Like, did you have an experience with that at all?
Let me think about that. In my home. Yes, but I'm not ready to talk about it. I will leave it at that.
I was going to say, I have one where they literally protected a loved one, but it's a protected story. But yeah, where they actually alerted me to a loved one being in a place of discord and needing help. And it was because of that spirit that I was then alerted and able to give my loved one the attention they needed. So yeah, it's amazing. Like they'll let you know.
Yeah, they definitely will let you know on that one. I can't, and I mean, they've, you know, they'll get my attention in different ways and fun ways with a lot of animals around here, or, you know, getting my animals' attention to do things or to look at me a certain way. It's really interesting when you start to see the many different ways that spirit can and does want to interact with everybody. Your loved ones do want to talk to you. And the biggest thing that I've found with people is, you know, just it's, I know it's easy for us to say, but it's just a matter of relax.
Chill out. And behind me right now, right behind me,
Rebel.
You talk about pets and relax. Rebel's right behind me right now. And that's how I know when spirit's around, like I'm going to do a private reading for somebody, right? They're going to set up a private session in the art room. Rebel will be box, you know, she's a boxer. So she's a 4-year-old boxer full of energy. And she is ping-ponging around all over the world right before the reading, right before a loved one comes up into from spirit and steps forward. You will get a little scratch at the door, and this rambunctious boxer all of a sudden just gets calm, and she comes and rests. It's like she just tunes into that spiritual energy. And I've even said, I'm like, if she doesn't come in the room, I'm going to reschedule somebody because their loved one mustn't be showing up, because it's like she just knows, and they connect with each other. So I don't know if your cats get more rambunctious or less, but she calms down.
They get wild. Like they'll just start running. You know, they do the 30-yard dash, I like to say. You know, they'll do the 30-yard dash and the jumps and everything like that. They'll, you know, they'll try to run through my feet and all kinds of stuff. They're trying to get the energy out because they feel it building too. But the minute, like, I have a rule, one cat in my office at all time, at any time, only one. And the one who will come in here, it's like, all of a sudden, they just know, like, chill. Like, this is not the place for you to be running around like that. So, speaking of haunted houses, you want to talk about a haunted house story, I find?
Yes. Absolutely. Big
okay.
Yes. Let's go.
That's right. So I got this wonderful book for Christmas. Shout out to the author, America's Most Haunted Road Trips. And I like to thumb through and see what story we can talk about and do a little tiny bit of research online, because sometimes there's not a whole lot in these descriptions. But I can look at the house and pick up more on it. So this house is called the J. Eldridge Home, and we are in Eldridge, Illinois, if you can say that quickly. Yeah.
I thought you were going to cut screens. The screen cut out while you were starting to talk. I'm like, either spirit's coming in, or were we going to put on a podcast? I mean, were you going to like put a transparency over me or something? So that wasn't
you doing that? No. We'll have to see what happens on the recording. That'll be interesting. Gonna flip out. Yeah, it'll be fun. So we are 1861. Okay. We're in Illinois. We're building a fancy pants farmhouse at the time. All kinds of different bedrooms. Big fruit for this time on here. We've got a whole family. They're running a cheese farm. They got a dairy farm. They got all kinds of stuff going on here. And so they've got the mom, the dad, and three daughters, right? But sadly, all the daughters sequentially died over the next 15 years due to what I read was unknown for one, tuberculosis for the other two, who were a little bit older at that point. They were a social family before that. They had a lot of people in the house. From what I read online, they were, what do they do, boarding at the houses? So, like, I get, you know, like, basically they were Airbnb-ing it for, like, the 1860s, which, like, ooh, that had to get into it. That had to get real interesting, right?
Energy coming in and out of people alive, let alone, you know, just residual energy, people moving constantly.
Yes, exactly. And so they don't go into too much detail. And I don't like to deep dive too much into these haunting stories because in case I ever do get to go investigate the place, I don't want to know too much about it other than what's like clearly obvious of this. But let's see. Now it's reported to be one of the most haunted homes in the area. It is dilapidated. It is abandoned. But people report seeing a spirit of a Native American along the tree line. They say that his final resting place is somewhere within that property. According to lore, there is supposedly a traveling salesperson passed away there as well within the home, and he is buried on the property. There's been reports of rocks being thrown, people being touched. Apparently, there are paranormal investigators who have gone in here and equipment has been messed with. Little shadow figures have been seen throughout the house. Yes, giggles, footsteps, knocking on the front door, which I thought was, wait a minute, wouldn't you have to be inside the house to hear the knocking on the front door?
Right.
I guess this was coming from paranormal investigators. I'm just going to assume that. Shadows, various apparitions throughout the house, and people being touched.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of activity. And this has been ongoing on the property since the girls had passed.
You know, and this has been ongoing on the property. There's very limited, expansive information about this house. And like I said, I don't want to do too much deep diving into it. But this house seems like a house that wants to be revived to me.
It sounds like it. It sounds like there's a lot of energy that's got a lot of story to tell.
It does. And I was like, look, if we are potentially dealing with a family here, they could be really helpful. Because if you want to have a museum or something like that, they already had a boarding house running. They can get people in there. If they were good at doing that when they were alive, they'll be good at doing that in there in spirit.
They can train you. They'll let you know who's coming ahead of time, maybe. They'll let you know which welcome mat to roll out and which one not.
Exactly. And it does. From the looks of this house, I'm like, it's like a typical, like, creepy two-story, large, brick, rectangular farm home. I know.
I wonder if you hear any farm animals, you know, if you would like feel any farm animals around there, if you were walking around the property.
I don't know. Well, I think from what I read, they were dairy farmers. So you might get a ghost cow.
Oh, nice.
I know. You know, cows can like knock you over and stuff like that. Like they can, like if they want to bump you, you're in
That's
trouble.
True.
And I mean,
you might get backed into.
Exactly. Can you imagine if a ghost cow just came along and like, that's like the last thing you heard before you hit the patty?
Well, and we both know as mediums, you can actually smell things. You can get the olfactory, right? We can get smells. So I wonder if you could actually pick up the smell if you were there. Would you get like an odor of cow? hopefully only cow and not cow patties.
Oh, I imagine you can get lots of odors in there because there's obviously no air conditioning or heating involved in this area. But I would surmise that that family is still there and many generations of family afterwards are there. But I have a thing like, I ever since I was a child, like I was always like, I want to go in that creepy old house over there. For what? I don't know. There's something there. Let me go.
I'm drawn to that.
Let me go. And I didn't know that term, you know, when I was growing up. I just thought like, there's something there that like, I need to be connected with. I think that was probably the thought that I had at that point. But I would seriously go here and do some paranormal investigating in an old farmhouse with potential ghost cows and pigs.
100%. Like, just you had me at the ghost cow. Like, that's it. I'm there. I'm bringing some hay. Hey, hey, hey.
We're here. Okay. To be able to do that, I was like, that looks like a creepy, creepy house that I really want to be a part of and at least go and give some evidence. Because what I found online was sparse. I could say that. And I didn't go too far down that hole, but it was definitely sparse on there. And so you want to play a little bit of a game with more haunted houses?
Ooh, I mean, that's literally my tagline. I have a t-shirt in the Huggable Healer product line. One of them says, want to play a game? Because that's me. Game anytime, any day.
Okay.
So yes, absolutely.
Okay. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask you about all the cool stuff you have coming up. Because word on the street, like, you're a busy woman.
Got some stuff going on.
I heard a rumor. That's all I'm going to say. I heard a rumor. That's, you know, that's that. So the game that we're going to play, okay, it's called Book It or Book It, right?
Ooh, nice.
We are going to go to my favorite Instagram account called Cheap Old Houses. And I picked a few listings and we're going to look through them and we're going to decide we're going to book a night there or we're going to book it the hell out of there.
Perfect.
All right. Let's do this through the magic of screen sharing. Here we go. Okay. Up first. Okay. All right. Can you see this?
Ooh, right away, booking it. The name is Rome. It's in Rome. I've always wanted to go to Rome.
Okay. I've always wanted it's to go in Rome, Rome, Georgia. Rome.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's a step. You got to get the step in the right direction. We're going to Rome. So my initial is a yes, but okay, let's learn more.
Okay. Oh, let me read the listing for folks. I'll read just a little bit of it. It says, save all the tour. Oh, folks, we're in Rome, Georgia, and it says, save all the turquoise wall ovens. Listed by Matthew L's Cipra. 4,800 square foot, 1.5+ acres, minutes from downtown. And it states all the lovely things that are just around the corner from it. And this asking price is, that's not cheap. That's $114,009. So we're going to see what's going on here. By the way, if you do go to this account, the comments are where the real pudding and proof in the pudding is at in these houses. So first look at this, Hannah. You want to go inside and you're like ready to throw your bags down for a couple evenings.
I am. Right away, that porch just says to me that like I'm going to walk in there and I'm going to see some really cool fretwork is what I want to call it, right? Because the architecture and I love the little... The scalloping and all that. I think I'm gonna get a little bit of architectural interest into that. That's I want to get a closer look at. What about you?
I don't know that and this looked creepy to me. So and what creeped me out the most wasn't exactly the house; it's the creepy tree.
I thought you were going to say that tree. It does kind of look like it could reach out and grab you. And like,
it looks like the Poltergeist tree.
Harry Pottery type, I don't know, a tree's going to come out and hug you and pick you up off the ground. Or
I don't think that. Yeah, I was like, all right. Boarded up front door and front window. This is going to go good. This is going to go good, everybody. By the way, for everybody who's listening, we're looking at a two-story white wood home that really needs some love here. Archway porches. What's it cute? All right. Yeah, no, that doesn't say horror movie at all. Like, no.
I might say when I walked up, if I was going to run up, now I'm going to walk a little slower. I feel like those arches were really pretty, but that might have been where the, that's all, that might have been all she wrote from outside.
Okay. It looks like we're in the foyer here. And well, we've got a lot of work to do here, but this also, like, this feels like a boarding house to me. Like, this feels like a lot of people are coming and going in this house at one time, and it does feel like there's a male spirit that's still here.
I've got chills up and down my spine. Usually for me, you know, when I have a spirit around me, left side male, right side female, they'll kind of tell me which side. I would say it's like spiritual baseball. But interesting enough, I'm not getting a particular side of my body, but my legs are going chills up and down. Like there's this cold air that's just wafting over me right now. So there's definitely some chilly energy about this picture that doesn't feel that good.
No, this house doesn't feel all that good and loved. Oh, I think we skipped a photo. Did we skip? Oh, no, we didn't skip a photo. That, and I mean, this hallway makes me look dizzy. And who puts all this horrible wood paneling up there? My God.
Okay, but I like the railing. I do like the railing, and it does look like, you know, it's well made. It looks like there's some craftsmanship in that stairs and the stairwell there. And that looks like it, but the paneling. Yeah, the time period and the paneling, what were we doing? Were we hiding something behind the walls? Did we stuff something behind the walls and we had to throw paneling up so that you didn't know what was behind it? I mean, I am a little curious.
I don't know. I don't trust those staircases. I get a headache looking at it. I'm like, okay. That's weird. In checkerboard flooring with wood flooring.
That's boarding house.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this wouldn't have been some kind of boarding house, like just a lot of people coming and going and still some people still there. Oh, there's our turquoise oven.
There's a turquoise. I was hoping they meant turquoise, like jewelry, like they were going to show us like, you know, beautiful jewelry around, but no, it looks like just the turquoise.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to give this kitchen a lot of love, but it is something about this house says, I don't know how long I'm going to stay here because this is creeping me out. Okay.
I feel like I'm sad for this house because architecturally inside, so confused. Like, yeah. Maybe we're living in the 60s and wait, there's some 70s influence and with the paneling and like, we didn't keep any of the integrity of the old farmhouse charm that I was hoping. I mean, I am seeing some of the woodwork, which would be fun to restore and see if I could bring it back to life. But everything else going on is such a hodgepodge.
Yeah, this is really like, it feels very, it needs a lot of work to it, and it needs consistency. That would be a good word. And then also with this house, it just creeps me out because it's like, I don't want to go too deep and make too many assumptions about this place, but I'm not staying here for too long. Ooh, that looks like a huge cobweb or a flooded spot above that fireplace there.
It's very disjointed, isn't it? Like you feel like you went into one house when you got in, but now it feels like you've almost transported us to like a whole different property, even though you've just moved around the room. So it's like they did some repairs and in the 70s and then gave up and gave a little in the 80s. It's not.
Look at that lot.
That's a big lot. That's a lot, a lot.
That's a lot, a lot. And that's a lot of house to be able to take care of. I think I would go there and book it because I would love to investigate there and see what's up just because I'm curious like that. But I ain't staying that long.
Okay. I think I would still book it, but I would book it as in leave once it got dark, because that's just too many woods around the trees and trees around the house in the woods that if a creepy boogeyman came after me, I wouldn't know which way they're coming or going. I'd get lost way too easy. So I will book it for the day, but I'm going to book it before it becomes night for sure.
Exactly. Like, this is like, you know, like Jason Voorhees territory. Like,
exactly.
No, man.
Uh-uh.
I'm out. I'm out on that one. You want to do another house?
Yes, this is so fun, Tracy. I love this. I've never done this before. I love this game.
Oh, yes. All right. Here we are. You're going to love this one. Okay.
Oh, come on, right away. What do you think?
We are in Pine City, Minnesota. I like saying that word, Minnesota. Hey, okay. $120,000. It says dream big. And boy, this whatever this is big. Okay.
Says
property lies amongst mature trees, beautiful views of the popular Pokegama Lake on almost an acre, historic brick. Eagles soaring, tranquil beauty all around. It is a total rehab project, people. And it goes on to say all the creeks, the rivers, and everything that it is surrounded by. It says sold as is. And it was bought as a sanitarium in 1905. Oh, shit.
Oh,
full disclosure, folks. No actual
disclosure. You're moving into a house that you're going to be sharing. This is a shared situation.
Yeah. This is a sharing situation, and some of your roommates are not in the physical. And it says there's no actual bathrooms or bedrooms, no heat or heat source currently, and no water, I imagine, as well. Okay.
Harold. I mean, the exterior is gorgeous. Right away, I was excited about those trees and how lush compared to the other property we looked at.
Dry
and desperately needed some rain. This is plush and green and relaxing. I feel like we're going to a retreat and look at all those windows and brick. Oh, brick is going to be all in.
I mean, could be built as a retreat.
I had hopes, but now I don't know, Tracy. I don't know if I'm walking in with you. I might stay back here while you go creeping around.
Okay. Let's look at the other photos. Let's see, because it is a very large two-story brick building, obviously abandoned for a very long time. All the windows have been busted out of this poor old gal. Yeah.
Wow. There's like 30 windows on there in that front of the house alone, the sanitarium, I should say. My goodness. Yeah. That's some cleaning. If you had all those windows, you're going to spend a week cleaning those windows, just the front windows alone.
Exactly. Okay. I get headaches and coughing here a lot. I don't like being here already.
Oof.
Is that the river? I guess it does face the river, right?
True. Like before you opened it, you know how we'll get like knowings about a property before we know, right? That's one of the fun games can be. Can you pick up on something before you know? I kept hearing creak, creak, creak. So like as in water. So the other house is, I was hearing it as you were still in the other house. I'm like, why am I hearing about a creek? Why am I hearing about a creek? And it didn't, you know, go with the property. I think I was picking up on what you were going to be putting down. So I was hearing creak, creak, creak. So I think that's exactly what it is. I think there's a creek nearby.
It does. It says views of Lake Pokegama and the black waters of the Snake River.
So like so, a creaky. Wow. Okay.
This is creepy. Oh.
Or creep. Now we're into creep.
Now we are into creep here.
That's sanitarium level, like sanitizing, gray, sparse, cold. You know, you're going to walk in there and you're going to immediately feel sad.
Yeah, there. I mean, this is just an interesting building, to say the least, folks. We are looking down a long hallway with two wooden double doors at the very end of it. And along the left side of the wall looks like a medication station and other rooms that you can go in along this wall. This just, I'm not feeling so good, but I'm still going to explore here because I'm nosy like that. I need to know what's going on here.
Okay. Oh, you got to see the rest of it.
Yeah.
What is going on the ceiling? Right away, there's something dangling down from the ceiling that almost looks like bed springs.
It looks like,
bed springs hanging from it.
I don't know what that is. Maybe it's some kind of equipment they used in the past. I have no idea what that is on there.
A little torture device kind of feel to it. Right?
Oh, wow. Somebody took an axe to that. Well, that's nice.
They just didn't like their... They look at that banister. It's like a whole chunk is just cut out of it.
But this feels like somewhere I would love to come and paranormally investigate. Definitely. Because it just feels like a lot of people didn't get to say their goodbyes here. Or their thank yous here. It just feels like a place that... it's like a mirage.
They got left behind. Like they got left there and then they were gone. Like you sent your loved one there and you didn't see them again.
Yes, type of thing. I don't know. I haven't done any. I'm going to want to go deep dive on this on the internet and check out this property. So, Hannah, are we booking it or are we booking it? What are we doing?
Ooh, I would definitely want to get a closer look because I just want to see it closer. I actually really want to go explore this property. There's just not a lot of places like this around the country. There's a lot of old farmhouses that I could go to, but this would be one of those locations that I would kind of want to go check out because of the uniqueness of it. But again, would I be able to stay at night? I think I'd stay in the farmhouse at night before I'd stay here. So if we're going to stay at nighttime, I'm going to book it. I'm leaving. I can't stay the night here, but I'd be interested in seeing it as long as I didn't have to sleep. What about you?
I would not be staying overnight here by myself at all. Like, maybe if I had a team with me.
That's what I was thinking.
I would go ahead and do that. And it looks like a load of bug spray. We would need lots of bug spray.
You'd need a ridiculous amount of bug spray. And I'm thinking that also the little critters that have complete access, 24/7
all the rest
to you. They're going to come in to visit and they're going to be attracted to the lights. I don't know. It may not be a nighttime excursion.
I don't know. I would give it its time because it definitely seems like there's a lot of stories in here that want to be told.
Yeah.
And I would be honored to help tell them whatever it is. But I'm not staying there overnight. And I like to see this. If a place is haunted, it's haunted in the day and the night. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. You just go in there. You can see, if you're using your third eye, as we like to do in the mediumship world, or you know, using your intuition, you can pick up on things. And if you really want it dark, close your eyes.
Right? I'll give you a blindfold. You can put it on. I'll make it dark. Ghosts are going to come out anyway, you know, they just are, or they aren't. So yes, those are that's some of my fun games that I like to play to people's if we're going to book it out of here. Now, I do want to give you a chance because you said that you wanted to talk about some projects that you're working on. What little tidbits can you give the public? Because I know you got some stuff.
I've got some stuff. If you've been staying at these places and now your tummy's getting grumbly and you're hungry, I can kind of virtually fill your tummy I have a program currently on YouTube. We jokingly call it the Tube of You when we're on social media. But on YouTube called Mediumship in a Meal. And it's, I like to say it's a unique culinary adventure where we invite your loved ones in spirit to come and dine with us as we resurrect those recipes that remind you of the dearly departed. And when we're recreating those recipes, it connects me to you, the sitter is what we call you. And I don't know you. This is the best part. The game part, Tracy, like you just played. The game is, I don't know who the sitter is. I don't even know the dish I'm going to be making. All I know is I show up on set that day and I have a bunch of ingredients in front of me. connected to a recipe for someone in the spirit world, and I start recreating that recipe, and it starts to tell me a story. And that story either connects me to the person who's going to be getting the reading from me, that again, I don't know who they are until we meet after I've recreated the dish, or it's about that loved one that the dish is about. So it's a neat, unique culinary way to kind of like say food for the soul in a way you never really imagined before.
I love it, you guys. And this is all over YouTube and TikTok as well. Mediumship and a Meal. Guys, go follow her on YouTube. Check her out because this is, I love this. It's a very unique concept. And, you know, she pulls other people into the readings as well to help. And that's, you know, something that you don't see everywhere. And I love the food aspect and the cooking aspect of it. It's, I mean, it's rocking and rolling. So if people wanted to come on your show, how could they do that?
That's what I was going to say. We've got season one done, and we've only got two episodes currently out, but we're unrolling them slowly but surely. We're putting them out on the YouTube. So you've got to make sure you follow me on The Huggable Healer on YouTube, or if you just go to thehuggablehealer.com, it has all my social media platforms where you're able to connect with me on YouTube and Instagram and on TikTok. I'm on there as well.
In the show notes as well, y'all. So it's super easy. Don't worry about it. You know, I always got y'all covered.
Yay. And if you go, there's actually a whole page dedicated to Mediumship and a Meal where folks can go there and they can link up and watch the current episode. They can become a community member and they can apply for the next season if they're interested in being the person who's going to be receiving that reading. So.
Oh, yes. Oh, and should we tell them what we're doing?
Sorry, you'd think there might be another spirit showing up. My animals, as you know, will interact with spirits. And all of a sudden, she started making this little noise, and I couldn't tell if she's like staring off in the corner because one of your guys' loved ones is connecting, or what's going on.
Wow. Okay.
That was really cool. Okay. I'm like, okay, Rebel.
Wow.
Yes, can we tell people what we're up to, Tracy? Because I'm,
yes.
I'm so excited.
Go ahead.
Please share.
Okay. You guys know, like, I love teaching, and I love teaching mediumship, intuitive, all of it, right? How to discover your gifts and how to work with your gifts. Well, me and Hannah are putting together a beginning platform mediumship class that's going to be a weekend long. It's online on Zoom, so no matter where you're at, you can go ahead and attend. And a lot of folks have been wanting to get some of that public experience with delivering messages in front of more than just one person. And this class will allow you to do that and allow you to learn the energy management of platform mediumship, the ABCs, the 1-2-3s of being in public, and how to work with holding your links when you're on a stage. And Hannah, you want to tell them the best part about the show that we're going to put on with it? We're going to have the students show.
Now you've got me wondering, what's the best part of the show that we're going to
put on? Our students, you don't, right. Look at this. You guys, you don't have to take the class to be able to attend. If you've been wanting a message from your loved one, you can buy a ticket for only $10. To attend the student-led mediumship demo.
It's amazing. Like, you get to sit in and watch all of these students and engage and see how, which is what I love to do, watch and see how different readers read differently, like the different styles of reading that they offer. And as they're growing and developing, you can watch the process unfold right in front of your eyes.
Yes. Yes. And we do want to preface it that these are students. So this is not going to be, you know, professional level just yet readings. These are, you know, they're just learning. Okay. So you come with a very open mind, but we will help. But we wanted to invite you guys. The link is in any of the show notes, no matter if you're listening to this or watching it. It's definitely in the show notes that you can take advantage and still get an audience ticket for that. So yeah, we have other stuff, but we're not talking about it right now.
We have other stuff. So we've got another project there that we just can't because we haven't rolled out yet. But yes, people are going to start seeing us together and be like, I think I've seen them together before, because like we like to say, but wait, there's more, because there's more stuff a coming and we're going to be collabing. But stay tuned for sure.
I can tell them this.
Okay.
Oh, the episode will be out after that. But we're going to be doing something this Friday live on TikTok that you guys are going to want to see the after videos of. That's all I can say about it. Is you're listening to this episode after that has been recorded. But go and find us on the old TikTok or whatever preferred social media, because we have a big group thing going on Friday that is delicious and sweet, and oh my god, it's just gonna make your mouth water when you see it.
It is, and I could say there might even be something where you're like, what's all that red stuff? And we'll just leave it at that. That's it. Sorry, we can't tell you. You're gonna have to
We're contractually bound. We signed things.
Tracy, this has been so much fun. Thank you for having me on. It's been a long time coming. I know we've been trying to overlap schedules and get the opportunity to work together. Thank you enough for having me on this episode. It went so fast.
Yes, it does. It does. Time flies when you're having fun and when you're with kick-ass people. And that's what I always say. And for everybody that's listening out there, go connect with Hannah on any one of your preferred social media networks. Links are down in the bio. As always, connect with me. You guys are absolutely awesome. And I can't wait to see you guys on another episode. And with that, I will wish you adieu. And I will see everybody else the next time on Haunted Road Trip Show.
Remember to visit our website at hauntedroadtripsshow.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. We look forward to seeing you next time. And remember, paranormal history is dying to be heard.